Broadcasting simultaneously from the Mitten and the City of Angels, welcome to another episode of the aptly named podcast about no topic and extreme specificity. I'm Josh, along with my co-host and resident boffin, Daniel. Say hi to the folks, Daniel.
Hello there.
Today, in our continuing series of favorite rock and roll, I guess we'll call it artists, we're moving from guitarists to the drums in the back of the band there. So we'll be doing our top five each. And again, this isn't, at least in mine, it's not indicative of like who is the actual best. It's just who's my favorite. And again, these are going to be in no particular order. So would you like to get us started, Daniel, with your first one?
Yep. So like Josh already said, this is in no particular order. This is not, you know, who is technically the best. These are just cool cats that I like. First one I had is John Bonham of Led Zeppelin, also known as Bonzo. And honestly, I mentioned it in last week's episode because Josh had mentioned Jimmy Page. And honestly, I don't really care for Jimmy Page. I think John Bonham and John Paul Jones are really the stars of the show. The ferocious way that John Bonham plays the drums in Led Zeppelin is to be commended. It really brings up the energy of the whole band, makes them sound bigger than they are. And he, I mean, technically probably wasn't the greatest drummer ever, but just the way that he attacked everything made it so much more involving and just cool, I guess. So that's my first pick. I think that's a lot of the reason that I like Led Zeppelin. So
yeah,
that's all I got.
I think you're, yeah, I would agree with you. John Bonham is, I think he's the consensus best rock drummer of all time. I mean, I did a lot of research for this episode because, I mean, when I listen to music, I'm always listening to the drums, but I never really think about the drummer for whatever reason. So I had to do a lot of research for this episode. And this, in fact, this is probably the most thoroughly researched episode, at least on my end, that we've done. But John Bonham came up again and again when, you know, looking at, you know, lists of top drummers. He's number one on Rolling Stone's list. And they're, you know, I would say an authority on the subject. And, you know, doing some research on him, he would do like in Led Zeppelin concerts, he was famous for doing 15 to 30 minute long drum solos while the rest of the band took a break. And he would go from, you know, sticking it to he would play with his hands and he'd play on some congas and then he'd go back to sticking it. And it's just, and just to listen to the way he plays the drums, like you said, is just, he has to be up there, has to be on everybody's list.
Yeah. Yep. I didn't know about some of the live stuff that he did, but I mean, it makes sense. He was an absolute animal.
And the way he took his influences of jazz and all sorts of things and incorporated them into his rock and roll drumming was, he wasn't quite the first of his kind, but he was right on the forefront there.
Yeah. And it, you know, everything was distinctly rock and roll, but with, you know, slightly different flavors added in.
Right, exactly. My first one that I'm going to bring up is Rick Allen. He is the drummer for Def Leppard. And famously, during his time with the band in the 80s, was driving his Corvette too quickly on a Scottish road and... I believe the story is somebody was coming the other way and he had to swerve to avoid them. Ended up rolling his Corvette into a field of sheep and lost an arm. But did that stop him from being an absolute kick-ass drummer? Absolutely no, it did not. So, I mean, he's got to be on everybody's list because he does what most people do with four limbs with just three. So you'd obviously have to be incredibly talented and also have, you know, incredible amount of, you know, just passion and stick-to-itiveness for your craft to suffer a setback like that and be like, no, I'm going to figure out a way and I'm going to just keep doing it. And then not to mention just the powerful drums that Def Leppard has as part of their like trademark sound. Like if you listen to, I mean, these are pretty basic songs, but Pour Some Sugar on Me and Rock of Ages, like just the way those songs start off with the drums and the guitar lick, but really the powerful drums. He follows in the footsteps, I think, of John Bonham in quite a bit of ways. His drumming is a little bit more basic, but it's so powerful is why he's on my list.
Yeah. And, you know, most of the time drummers will have like two or three pedals, but of course he has way more pedals to, you know, operate the snare and things like that. And it's got to be difficult to be, you know, a normal drummer and then have to retrain yourself to play a kit in a different way too.
He's also the only person on either of our lists that I've seen live, and he's incredible.
Yeah.
So Def Leppard in themselves are incredible, but he's awesome.
I actually saw them live as well. And I mean, it was a great show. Got to give it to him.
Yeah, exactly. I think the next one on our list we both have in our number two spot. So I think I'll let you start and we'll just kind of have a conversation about it.
Yep. So I've got Neil Peart. I don't know how you're really supposed to say it, but
hey, yeah, I've heard Peart and I've heard Peart. I would imagine it's Peart.
it's Canadian. I'll leave it to the Canadians.
Yeah.
So I grew up with my dad listening to a lot of Rush and Def Leppard for that matter. And at first I didn't really pay attention to it. And then when I got older and really actually started listening to Rush, he was kind of like the first drummer that I noticed that could play like a tonal melody or harmony with a drum kit. If you know what I mean. He played it like more of, you know, like a lead instrument rather than a rhythm instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he's famous for having absolutely ridiculous kits that like almost completely encircle him. Like, I don't know how he even gets to the center.
Yeah. There's a famous live view of him playing YYZ, and it's actually a top down view, 'cause that's the only way to see everything he's doing.
Right, and he's just like spinning around, and he's got all the like synth pads and everything, and you know, all sorts of like blocks and clavs, and I don't even know. Yeah, it's something else. If you really watch and kind of study what he does, especially his live stuff, it's a show. And he, you know, did a lot of the. I don't know if he did the music writing, but I know he like did a lot of the lyrics for the group too, right?
Yeah, his lyrics are, they span of everything from like, you know, Spirit of Radio, which is like a pretty, you know, every day, this is a song about just life, to just like Lord of the Rings kind of stuff. And it's wild. His lyrics have quite the range to them. And yeah. I would also say he's probably the most talented just technical drummer, not just on our lists here, but just period. I think there's an argument to be made for that.
Yeah, for sure. He was very well read. He was very soft spoken, very humble. Mm-hmm. Just an all around great person. That died
very
too
antithetical
young.
To the drummer. You know, you think of the drummer as like this kind of like, I think most people's stereotype of a drummer is kind of like a knuckle dragging kind of guy that just hits stuff really hard, but he was more cerebral for sure.
Oh yeah. He read books and wrote words that I certainly don't understand.
And then, you know, just doing my research for this, one of his influences was none other than John Bonham. So
yeah.
And another person that we'll get to on my list later in the episode. But definitely, yep. You can't have one of these lists without Neil Peart on it. If you are, you don't really listen to drumming.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So Who's your number three there, Daniel?
So my number three is Mike Portnoy. I know him from Dream Theater, which is maybe a little bit obscure for the mainstream audience.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is where your list goes a little off the rails for me. I was kind of with you on the first two, but your list goes off the rails after this one. So,
yep. So I'm kind of showing my weird tendencies here, not in that way, but so I was refreshing my memory just before we started recording on. I remember listening to Dream Theater and being like, I've never heard anybody drumming like this. And that's why I picked him. Part of it's because their music switches time signatures like every other measure in some songs. It's insane. It's impossible to keep up with. But then in addition to that, he like syncopates hits and makes it so that it almost like ebbs and flows even more within the different time signatures as well. And every hit is so precise and so perfect that it sounds, you know, the same on every single drum, every time. And then you look at him playing live and he just barely even looks like he's doing anything. He's just doing. It's like I don't know how he can do that, but it's something to definitely pay attention to. If you're into drumming or curious about drumming, you know, watch some of his live stuff, listen to some 90s, early 2000s Dream Theater. And, I would put it out there that there are a few drummers that do it like he does.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to contribute, to talk about him a little more. I mean, in my research, he did come up on a couple of lists, but I can't say that I'm aware of having ever heard his music. I may have, and I just don't know it, but so I can't really contribute on that one. My number three is probably everybody's favorite drummer to hate. He's kind of the Nickelback of drummers. And that's Metallica drummer Lars Ulrich. Among the drumming community and the metal community, everybody loves to hate on, oh, Lars is like the worst drummer ever. But like, he's got way more money than probably just about any other drummer. So he must be doing something right. And he's the drummer for and one of the founders of the most popular, best known heavy metal band in the world, hands down. There's not even any bit of a competition. And I think there's some argument to be made because what he's famous for, I guess, or infamous for, is not being such a great drummer live. But if his recordings, like Short of Straw, Master of Puppets, One, like he's obviously a very good drummer. Like you couldn't play those songs and not be a very good drummer. And he has to be on my list just because I love Metallica so much, and the drums are a big part of Metallica's sound.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I don't think he's a great drummer, but you can't have Metallica without Lars, so.
Right, and again, we'll reiterate it. This is our list of favorite drummers. We're not necessarily saying any of these guys are the best, hence why Lars is on here, and my number four person is going to be another one that people are probably going to want to hate on me for because, oh, he's not a great drummer, but we'll get into that. Daniel, who's your number four?
So my number four is Stuart Copeland of the Police fame. So the Police, for me, are either like 10 out of 10 or like 2 out of 10, depending on the song. I either love them or I really just don't want to listen to them. So, but when I do listen to them, the drumming is one thing that like just really reels me in because like in general, like the guitar playing isn't that bombastic. It's a small group. And so the drumming is like, again, a key part of the group. And I watched a YouTube kind of almost mini documentary on why Stuart Copeland is, you know, one of the most important drummers. And then it really made me realize, like, yeah, he's doing things that, once again, like, you don't really hear other people doing, especially not in that genre of, like, kind of pop, rock, pop, punk kind of thing. And especially when he's just, like, he's not even using the snare for, like, half of the song. And then he brings in the snare, and it completely changes the whole dynamic of everything, which is, you know, something that I immediately noticed. And I was like, what's different? And then you know, go back and realize, like, oh, he's just playing it differently than, like, 90% of other rock drummers would play it. So that's kind of my take on why he's important to me. And again, a large reason of why I think the Police were so successful and why I like the Police.
Yeah, I saw him. He was on just about every list I looked at. And I can recognize that he's a great drummer, but I just don't listen to enough of the Police to include him on a list of five. So, but my number four is Don Henley, the drummer / songwriter / vocalist for the Eagles. And in my research of him, you know, he's not one a lot of people think of when you think of drummers, because, you know, if you listen to the Eagles, the drums are just, they're just kind of there. But this is a little bit of a me quote that I'm going to make right here, but he's the best drummer in the world for the Eagles. He's right in there. He knows the sound, and he's one of those drummers, one of few drummers that can sing and drum at the same time. So he's on my list. And if you want to listen to, you know, him kind of get a little bit funky with the drums, you can listen to Victim of Love. That song is a little bit harder rock than most of their other songs, so he gets out of the groove a little bit and experiments a little bit and is more than just, you know, he's usually just kind of there to keep the rhythm. But I thought that Don Henley had to be on my list, and not just because of his drumming, but because of, you know, the space he occupies in the lexicon of rock and roll. So he's another one that, just like Lars, that really makes us a list of who our favorites are and not who really are great drummers, because he would never be on anyone's list, I don't think.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's like, you and I both love the Eagles, and the Eagles wouldn't be the Eagles without him. So,
right.
Got to have him.
Right. And you could argue that, you know, rock and roll wouldn't be the way it is without the Eagles, because they really popularized and, you know, minted that Southern California country rock style.
Yep, they were definitely, you know, some OGs in that respect.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I'm looking at your number five, and you're really going to have to convince me on this one.
Yeah, so I really struggled to come up with a number five. Okay, so I'll say this was maybe a little bit of a cop-out. I just kind of, like, put the first guy that came to my mind after I got through the first four. And I put Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So I was watching some live footage again before we started recording here to kind of refresh myself, and he's got, like, almost a 70s, like, funk rock vibe, but also rock, but also a little bit of jazz. And he's just a cool dude. So I do really like the Red Hot Chili Peppers and the way they perform and their stage presence. Flea has got to be one of my favorite bassists, and I kind of, like we've already said with some other bands, like, Flea and Chad Smith are, you know, what makes the Red Hot Chili Peppers the Chili Peppers. So got to have him in there. The bit with him and Will Ferrell doing a drum off, it was kind of like one of my first introductions to actually learning more about Chad Smith. And any guy who can, you know, be that much of an entertainer, I think it is a pretty good one. So I don't care if I convinced you or not. I probably didn't, but he's a great drummer. You know, kind of fades into the background on some stuff, but if you really start to listen, he's very talented. Plays in sort of an old school way, almost more of a, you know, John Bonham kind of way, which is probably another reason why I like him. But again, he's just really cool. So that's about all I got.
Yeah, you definitely didn't convince me, and kind of here's why. I just can't think of a single drum hit in all of the Red Hot Chili Peppers songs that I know. I've never listened to a Red Hot Chili Peppers song and gone, oh yeah, there's drums there. Like, I don't know. It's just, and maybe some people would say the same for Don Henley. Oh, I've never listened to an Eagles song and gone, oh, there's drums there. So I'll let you slide with this one. I guess I kind of came into this and I assumed that Phil Collins would be on your list. Because I know that...
Yeah, I don't know.
I know that his... What is it? His Face-to-Face album, something with faces, is one of your favorites. It's on your list of your favorite albums that you gave me.
Yeah,
so
Face Value.
I know... yeah, and I know... I think I know you like Genesis. So I was just shocked to not see Phil Collins on your list.
So the thing is like, he doesn't really do, you know, that much drumming, I don't think. You know, like in Genesis, I think he became kind of more of a vocalist and a little less of a drummer in my mind. I still really like his music, but I've always kind of thought of him more as the vocalist and the frontman rather than the drummer. That may be incorrect, but I've never really thought of him as like mainly a drummer.
Yeah, we're getting a little off the rails here because Phil Collins is in my honorable mentions. So we don't necessarily need to circle back to him later. We can get off the rails a little bit and talk about him now. But to your point about, I think it was, you know, Neil Peart playing melodically. I mean, Phil Collins has In the Air Tonight, which the entire instrumental melody is the drums. So,
yeah.
And I think it's that song that puts him on a lot of people's lists for great drummers because, you know, the rule is if you're driving down the road and that song comes on, you have to drum along to the drum fill, whether it gets you in an accident or not. It's just the law.
Yeah. And you have to sing along to Bohemian Rhapsody even if you don't know any of the words.
Yeah, especially if you can't hit the notes.
Yeah.
Because who can, right? Other than Freddie Mercury. But that's a topic for another podcast. But we'll go to my number five, who is probably, if we were making a list of, you know, who's the actual best, I'm sure he would be on both of our lists. But mine is Keith Moon, the original drummer for The Who. And I actually did quite a bit of research on him because I was where you were, where my number five, I was like, ah, crap, who am I going to put on here? You know, I don't really know. And then I kept seeing Keith Moon and I'm like, you know, like, I don't really feel like I know enough about him, but I started listening to some of my favorite Who songs. And he's just, I think he was right there with John Bonham. He's the kind of person that just bashed the heck out of his drums, and he's actually the bassist for a Muppet called Animal. So, like, I mean, if that doesn't get you on a list, I don't know what does. And he's quoted To quote himself, he's the greatest Keith Moon type drummer in the world, which just says so much about him. He's the quintessential, you know, destroy a hotel room, destroy his instrument, set stuff on fire rock star. And his drum fills are absolutely legendary. You know, his playing in Won't Get Fooled Again is absolutely legendary. Just like John Bonham, was taken way too soon. And I think on most lists, you know, you see it's interchangeable between number one and number two, John Bonham and Keith Moon.
Was he the one who drove his Rolls Royce into the swimming pool, or was that another member?
I'm not sure. You know, that entire band was just so freaking insane when they were in their heyday that it could have been any one of them.
Yeah, so The Who is another... That's another instance where I think the drummer and the bassist really made the band for me.
Well, yeah, I mean, isn't John Entwistle, like, regarded as the best bassist of all time?
Yeah, because he is.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, Keith Moon definitely had to be on at least one of our lists, and I was happy to put him on mine because he's truly incredible.
Yeah, and I would encourage you to give Chad Smith a quick YouTube search and look at some of his live stuff, because even if you don't like him, you have to think he's a cool guy, at least.
No, I don't dispute that at all. I was surprised to see the drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers on your list. That's, I would have never in a million years guessed that. So, on to honorable mentions, I guess.
Yep. So my only honorable mention I wrote down is Rick Allen, which we've already talked about. Saw him live with Def Leppard, and just still rocking, you know? Even after an accident like that, not many people would still want to go do that job. And yeah. Props to him.
Yeah, and I think you'll probably agree with my honorable mentions. The first one I have is Alex Van Halen. He's incredibly punny, instrumental to the way Van Halen sounds. Not quite. Obviously, he loses a bit of the spotlight because of who his brother is. But I mean, the intro, the drum intro to Hot for Teacher is absolutely iconic. I don't think there's a better drum intro out there. And if there is, I haven't heard it.
Yeah.
Yep. So he's on my honorable mentions list for sure.
He also had like a really cool kit. Like, he had the double bass drums that were like 3 feet long. They were just like cannons.
So well, he cool. like he kind of popularized, and that song kind of popularized the whole double kick bass drumming.
Yeah. So the thing about the intro to Hot for Teacher is that there's a lot of bass drum and a lot of floor tom in there, but I'm pretty sure it was actually two separate recordings that were layered.
Really?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Well, how does he play it live then? Does he like just loop it and
I'm play not over sure
a recording?
I haven't done enough research, but
okay.
I have talked with, you know, one or two other people who play the drums and talking about that song, and they seem to indicate that it was actually just a double recording. Worth researching.
I don't think that necessarily takes anything out of it for me. It's still incredible.
Oh yeah, it sure is.
And then, you know, we already talked about Phil Collins. He's also on my list. I also have Michael Shreve on my list. He is probably the only session drummer on either of our lists. And I wanted to do more research on session drummers, but I kind of ran out of time and ran out of research oomph. I can only do research on drummers for so long. But Michael Shreve is perhaps best known as the drummer for Santana for quite some time. He was the drummer for Santana at Santana's famous Woodstock show. He's the drummer on the Abraxas album. Now, he's not the only percussionist, but the percussion, like I said in our last episode, is a big reason why I like Santana so much. Obviously, Santana, amazing guitarist in his own right, amazing musician in his own right, but the percussion for me is what what really brings his stuff together, and Michael Shreve is a big part of that. He's also, like I said, he's a session drummer, so he's also been on quite a bit of other stuff.
Yeah, so on the subject of session drumming, I thought about putting Steve Jordan on here, which is another one of those names where it's like, who? And then you look at all of his credits and you're like, oh, okay, I get it now. And so he was in the John Mayer Trio band. I saw them live and have a couple of their CDs. Just an incredible trio. Like, it's my favorite, like, jazz rock trio for sure in modern times. Him and Pino Palladino, because they're like session drummers, they are used to coming into a situation with, you know, probably little preparation, nailing it the first time and leaving, right?
Right. Well,
so it's just like these guys have so much precision and prowess that it's impossible to not notice.
Yeah, and I think we could probably do, now this would require even more research than we put into this episode, but we could easily do a session musician episode, because they're kind of the unsung heroes. Like, most of the music that, you know, definitely you and I listen to, or even anybody listens to, doesn't happen without session musicians. So, you know, they're called hired guns, and there's actually a really good documentary on Amazon Prime called Hired Gun about, you know, the different hired guns of the rock and roll industry.
Yeah.
And there were a lot that came up in my research on, you know, best drummers to include on our lists. But again, they're just people that you would be like, who? So I definitely had to include Michael Shreve for sure.
Yep. Yep.
But hey, I think that, did you have anyone else that you wanted to mention? You said Rick Allen was the only one that you wrote down.
Yeah, without you know, putting much more thought into it. I mean, hold on, let's go through some of my music library here and see if anything just pops into my head. Let's see. Sully from Godsmack. Another drummer singer.
Oh, I didn't realize Sully was also the drummer.
Yep. At least for part of the time he was, but like original Godsmack, really great stuff. Let's see who else in here.
I mean, we could throw in Liberty DeVito. He's another extremely famous session drummer.
Yeah. Who else we got? I mean, Dave Grohl, of course, big personality. I've never been really taken with his drumming per se.
Yeah. He's got some good, Nirvana has some pretty good drumming to it, but it's not exactly what you go to when you think of good drumming.
Yeah. At least the dude is cool. Like,
yeah,
he can break his leg and then just sit in a throne for the rest of the concert and still do it.
Right. Exactly. Well, we don't need to belabor the point too much. If we want to do a revisit episode, we can do that.
Yep. Lots of them out there. You know, we've only scratched the surface for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think that's going to do it for us here on the aptly named podcast about no topic and extreme specificity. As always, thanks for listening.
Thanks.